free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
It's Wednesday, January the 29th, 2020. I'm David Knight, your host. We're going to take a look at what is happening around the world. Is the coronavirus, is it coronaphobia? Is this a psyop? Is it biowarfare? Is it both? We need to look at the profits behind this, the motives behind the government. Are they telling us the truth? I mean, on the one hand, we've got evidence that the Chinese government is telling us lies to make it look worse. On the other hand, we have evidence that they're telling us lies to make it look better. So what do you believe? Meanwhile, we have people that have been exposed in terms of espionage, smuggling viruses and other things to China from the West. We've got a Harvard professor who's been caught doing that. We have other indications of that. The real topic here, folks, it's not whether or not you're going to die from this flu. I mean, we look at the numbers that are being published. And again, can you believe them? I don't know. But we look at about 6,000 people being identified by these people. And again, that is always suspect. It was highly inflated with SARS. It was highly inflated with the swine flu. And with the swine flu, they pushed a untested vaccine on people. A lot of people hurt by that vaccine. The vaccine was far more dangerous than the flu that came out. So there are profit motives involved in this. But the thing that we need to look at underneath all of this is how everybody wants to use it for their agenda. We got Elizabeth Warren saying, this is climate change. We got to do something about climate change. I've got an agenda here about climate change. Well, the only thing that's going to affect the agenda with climate change is if Elizabeth Warren, the Democrats, and occasional Cortex are able to stop all travel. Basically quarantine us all in the smart cities, which is basically what they want to do, these open-air gulags. But even as they're quarantining people in unprecedented numbers, some people in the medical community are saying this is going to backfire. It's going to create shortages of food, shortages of medicine. It's actually going to cause the virus to spread. You know, instead of you concentrate the people who are sick in one area, it's actually going to make it spread. So we need to be looking at this whole biowarfare issue. It's something that really hasn't been talked about a lot. It's something that, in spite of the fact that there was a lot of, I would say, fourth or fifth level news about it a couple of years ago, it was talked about a little bit because USA Today picked it up, one reporter there, and they couldn't hide it. And they did some investigations at Congress. Just so they could tell everybody, it's okay. We've looked at it. We've solved the problem. Yes, there was a problem, but it's not a problem anymore. The government was bad 60 years ago. They were doing all kinds of things, manipulating the news. But see, that was just 60 years ago. We've declassified what they were doing 60 years ago. They're not doing that now. They've cleaned up their act. And you could never have the American people panicked into believing something like this was breaking out when it wasn't, right? I mean, that would never happen in America. Yeah, the American government and the American media would never lie to us like the Chinese government and the Chinese media. And you would never have the American people be such dupes that they would believe that buildings would fall into their own footprint, even when they haven't been hit by a plane. One of them wasn't hit by a plane. Or in a magic bullet, or in climate change, or even in socialism. You could never fool the American people about that kind of stuff if you control the media and the government. And that's what I'm concerned about. What are their solutions that they have lined up for us? And when we come back, we're going to begin with news about the moral sickness of this country, as evidenced by what's going on with the Super Bowl. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Deceit, Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
It's January 29th, year of our Lord 2020. I'm David Knight, your host. In the news today, we have pestilence, famine, earthquakes, wars, and rumors of wars. Makes you want to just step back and pause for a second, doesn't it? I mean, you ought to take a look at the big picture. We're going to take a look at the details, actually. You can do the big picture on your own, but don't ever miss the forest for the trees. And when I talk about this, I mean, of course, pestilence, we're talking about the coronavirus. Is it a coronaphobia? Is it a psyop? Is it biowarfare? Is it both of those at the same time? Corporate profits and the military-industrial complex. The military surveillance complex is really what it is. But let's take a look at some of these other things that are happening here. Of course, you know, we had the earthquake yesterday. Cayman Islands, a big one. 7.7. And remember, you know, every time you go up one number, you know, a magnitude 7 is 10 times bigger than a magnitude 6. So one number makes a big difference. It's a logarithmic scale. 7.7 magnitude quake prompted tsunami warnings, building evacuations as far away as Miami, several hundred miles from the center of the earthquake. And videos on social media show sinkholes opening in the Cayman Islands, where they had a 4.9 magnitude aftershock. They typically form these sinkholes as the earth around them dissolves, causing an underground cavern to form and making the surface vulnerable to collapse. Meanwhile, on Friday, just to sum up, we've had a lot of earthquakes in the last few days. On Friday, they had a 6.8 earthquake. Now, that was 10 times less than this one that happened in the Cayman Islands. But still, they had 41 people dead, 1,600 injured. And that was Friday evening. And on Monday, we had earthquakes across the world. This is an article from The Express talking about, well, let's take a look at all the earthquakes that just happened today. And, of course, a lot of these are happening in places that get a lot of earthquakes. Normally, Alaska and Russia. Alaska had a 5.2 quake on Monday, preceded by 5 quakes in the same area, the strongest of which was a magnitude 6.7. A lot of seismic activity happens in Alaska. 2019 was a runner-up for the most seismically active year. In Russia, they had a 4.6 quake on Monday also. A magnitude 5.2 also hit. Again, similar to Alaska, earthquakes are very common in Russia. In Indonesia, they had 2 earthquakes that struck within 5 hours of each other. Magnitude 4.8. The other quake was 4.6. And then, of course, the quake in Turkey, 6.8 on Friday. And then 3 days later, there was a 4.4 magnitude quake. So that's the earthquake part of it. A lot of activity there. Then the famine part of this. We have, as Michael Snyder, economiccollapseblog.com points out, a plague of billions of locusts going across Africa, eating everything in sight. Authorities are telling us that what we've seen so far is just the tip of the iceberg. In fact, if extreme measures are not implemented immediately, authorities are claiming that this locust plague could literally get 500 times worse in just a few months. Ravenous locust swarms that are the size of cities. Actually, they're bigger. I'll tell you about that. It's got that in the article here. Consuming crops at a staggering pace. It can be difficult to imagine a plague of billions of locusts. After all, there's only about 7 billion people on the planet. But billions of locusts are devastating it. Each one of them can eat its own weight every day. One of the largest swarms that they've observed in northeastern Kenya was measured to be 36 miles long by 24 miles wide, far larger than major cities. So, yeah, it is bigger than cities. As a matter of fact, Ethiopia and Somalia have not faced an infestation on this scale for 25 years. Kenya hasn't had one this size in 70 years. South Sudan and Uganda also at risk if the swarms continue to grow and spread. And then that brings us back to the coronavirus. When we look at the pestilence, the stock market people have made their decision. At first, we saw the stock market going down, right? There was a lot of alarms about that. And now they have, as Yahoo Finance points out. They have now shaken off the fear of the virus, and stocks are rising and climbing quite a bit. U.S. stocks climbed the most since October on speculation that efforts to contain the coronavirus will prevent a major economic fallout. So they're not concerned about it. They've looked at the information. They've looked at some of the stuff that I've looked at. And again, I'm not afraid of the coronavirus. I'm afraid of the secondary and tertiary effects of this. I'm afraid of being quarantined by government because as they look at this, they say, you know, we got to have more draconian measures. And we've got to, they said, this is a test of the ability of Beijing to enact centralized control. It's like, wait a minute. I thought they were all about centralized control. I didn't think that was a problem in China. Did you? I thought their problem was that they had too much centralized control. But you can never have enough power, can you? That's the nature of these people. And so, yeah, it's a test. It's a test. If this is a real emergency, they would be loading you up right now into the FEMA camps. But they may do that yet. And they may use this as an excuse. We'll talk a little bit more about that coming up and about the biowarfare of that. But I want to get into the moral pestilence that is sweeping our country. Because, folks, that is really the thing that you ought to be concerned about. Don't worry about governments and diseases and famines that can destroy the body. You better worry about what's going to destroy your mind and your soul and our culture. That's all being destroyed right now. When we look at the Super Bowl, good example of this, because it's become this big thing, especially the ads that surround it and the parties that surround it. I kind of missed out on that whole thing. My family stopped watching television after we moved to a remote rural area, and we couldn't get any television. It was great. It was kind of a forced fast, and we just stopped watching it. And we didn't watch it for about 15 years. I still don't watch television. I get my news in other ways, but I don't watch television. I will single out things that I hear about, movies and other stuff like that, but I don't just sit there and watch television. And so I was kind of surprised to see that, you know, one church that we went to, they made a big deal out of a Super Bowl party. I thought, why are we doing that? celebrate. There's so many things that as a church you could celebrate. Why celebrate this big sports spectacle? And it was all about the commercials. You know, everybody would kind of sit there and they'd ignore the game. And then when the commercials would go on, they were glued to the TV set. Well, what are they feeding us in these commercials? And what are they feeding us in the halftime shows? That was the other thing that I was amazed at. These halftime shows, Janet Jackson, the rest of them, it's like, why as a church group are we sitting there watching this stuff? This is absolute trash. But they've got even more trash that they're coming, sending to you. NBC News is very happy to report that this will be the first time during a Super Bowl that they will have ads featuring drag queens. There they go. And they're going to be selling you hummus from a brand, Sabra. This is probably the largest seller of hummus. I buy hummus, but I'm proud to say I don't buy that brand. And I won't be buying that brand if they think that they want to sell hummus to me with this. I just don't understand the connection at all. Yeah, I know that their name, one of the drag queens is called Kimchi and the other is called Ms. Cracker. So I'm sure they're going to have some play on that. But what they won't show you, is this Super Bowl ad. I played the longer version. Here's the 30-second version that they won't show you. They'll show you the drag queens, but Fox Sports, which is now Disney, will not show you this ad. Play that.
Will you look me in the eye?
Can you look me in the eye and tell me that I shouldn't be alive?
Can you tell me that I didn't deserve to survive?
One reality binds us together.
One event we all share.
One choice tried to steal our lives.
But we survived.
We are the survivors of choice.
We are the faces of choice.
I am the face of choice.
That's what they will not let you see. That's too controversial. I'll tell you what they went through and how they got shafted by Disney. There is a moral sickness in this country. It has reached pandemic levels, and Disney is patient zero. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Oh,
Welcome back. We're going to get back into the coronavirus, the coronaphobia, PSYOP, biowarfare, both. It is a lie. It's interesting because as you look at what has been discovered, there's a great story at Zero Hedge, I'm going to tell you. The real connection between, you know, we've been sold this fairy tale story. I laughed about it, I think it was Wednesday last week or Thursday last week, about a week ago. I said, yeah, okay, yeah, you're going to get this stuff from the bat soup and so forth. They jump from the snakes to the bat soup. And as I've said many times, it's kind of a fairy story, how this just organically, you know, evolved. Kind of like a Rudyard Kipling story about how the rhinoceros got his skin. Well, it turns out that this focus on bat soup may have a little bit of connection to reality. It may have a connection to the Wuhan Biosafety Level 4 lab, part of a biowarfare lab that was set up right there, not too far away from that market. Was it released? Did it escape? What did they do? But there is a connection with the coronavirus, the weaponized coronavirus, and bats carrying it coming out of that Wuhan University. I'll give you the details of that coming up. But I want to talk about the sickness that is already viral here in the United States. The moral decay, the decadence that we have here. And we are spreading that across the globe. All you people may want to quarantine your entertainment that is coming out of America because it is a filthy cesspool that no open-air market in China can even come close to. Your television set, your media. Disney, so wholesome, right? No, they're the ones running Fox Sports Network. And they're going to be pushing out a commercial where you're going to have drag queens selling hummus. Because, you know, that's the obvious connection, right? And we need to, that's going to make everybody go out and buy hummus. I don't know what their market is. What they think their demographic is. I don't know. I eat hummus. Maybe I need to reconsider my food choices here. But I will reconsider my diet of entertainment. When we look at what Disney has done, and again, they're the ones who bought Fox Sports Network. You know, Fox split up. They sold off their entertainment. They sold off their sports stuff. They kept the news thing under the Murdoch. So this is separate from Fox News. Fox News has got its own set of problems right now with Chris Wallace and their politics. But this hasn't had anything to do with them. It has everything to do with Disney. There's no better way to take people down than with deception and with hiding it, is there, right? So they hide behind this wholesome mask that was what they have been going by for years. And at one point in time, Disney was wholesome. They were, you know, under Roy, they were very wholesome. Anyway, they're not now. Faces of Choice, this ad that I showed you, and we'll play that again for you in just a moment so you can see that, contrast that. I played the long version of that that was about 2.5 minutes long. They went out and they got 14 adults who had survived abortion, and now they were adults, you know, 20, 30, 40, 70 years old, some of them. And they all talked about that. Can you look me in the eye and tell me that I don't have worth? And I think that was a brilliant strategy because we have to understand that this whole cult of death that is behind all of this bioweapon stuff as well, it all ties together with the Gates Foundation, their depopulation demands, their vaccine mandates and so forth, and their abortion of babies and their euthanasia of the sick and elderly. Can you look people at any age in the eye and say you don't have the quality of life to deserve to continue living and I'm going to terminate your life? We need to see a commercial like that. We need to respect life at every age. And all of those, all of you who are saying, well, we just don't care. These babies, they're not persons and so forth. These are the same people who don't think that Terry Schiavo is a person. And they're not going to think you're a person once you get older and infirm and you're in a health facility or hospital. They're going to cut the plug on you. That's going to come back to get you. So we have Faces of Choice. This is a new nonprofit. They put this together. Like I said, I played the ad that was like 2.5 minutes long. They premiered it at the March for Life, which was, by the way, spiked. That story was spiked by all the mainstream media. Nobody talked about that. We had reporters that were there. I've talked about it a great deal before, after. But they didn't talk about, the mainstream media didn't talk about that. I've got that story coming up from LifeSite as well. But LifeSite points out that they were given a runaround by the network for over 6 months. This ad does not mention abortion. It has been carefully produced so that it is appropriate for Super Bowl audiences. Lyric Gillette, founder of Faces of Choice, told LifeSite News she has invested thousands of dollars, hundreds of working hours, after the network approved her storyboard months ago. The application was originally made in July. We were one of the very first people to submit anything to Fox Sports, owned by Disney. We met every single stipulation that they asked for, and every time we met the line, they moved the line further to request something else. She says she was initially advised that they would be informed if the application was successful back in October, but no answer was given. We were told over and over again, you're going to get an answer, but we never got anything, she said. At one stage, they were told by the Fox Sports legal department that they wanted to know everybody who was donating toward or sponsoring the ad. Think about that. You know, when we talk about that, when we say, you know, look at this, we've got a political action committee, or we've got this or that, it's being funded by Soros, it's being funded by Bill Gates, and these same people, mainstream media will say, you bunch of conspiracy theorists, why are you pointing out who's funding this? They wanted to know everybody that was funding this commercial that we're talking about here. She said that was an untenable request. They nevertheless provided information on major figures who had supported the effort. So then in November, Gillette said she wrote to the legal team saying that the delay in approving the ad meant that they'd risk going past the time of year when potential sponsors would commit to making financial donations to pay for the ad. She says that she was then told on a Friday that they would be given an answer on the following Monday because the relevant personnel at Fox Sports didn't work over the weekend. That following Monday, she says she was informed the advertising slots had sold out. But she was advised by her experienced media buyer that additional slots always become available at a later date. So Gillette asked the Fox legal team to authorize the application so that they would be eligible to secure any slots that might become available. The request for authorization was refused. And when Fox Sports announced last week that more slots had become available, just as her media buyer had told her, always happens, Gillette resubmitted the application, and they have never responded whatsoever. Disney and Fox Sports. Let's play that ad again as we go out. That's a 30-second ad. We've got about 40 seconds left. Let's run that ad one more time so you can see what they object to at Disney.
Will you look me in the eye?
Can you look me in the eye and tell me that I shouldn't be alive?
Can you tell me that I didn't deserve to survive?
One reality binds us together.
One event we all share.
One choice tried to steal our lives.
But we survived.
We are the survivors of choice.
We are the faces of choice.
I am the face of choice.
I am the choice.
Facesofchoice.org.
The mainstream propaganda. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. I've got a correction to make. CJ corrected me as we went to break. Sometimes I'm wrong. I never intentionally lie to you, but I got it wrong about who owns Fox Sports. I had looked it up, and I saw that Disney had acquired, the way it was worded in the reference that I saw, that they'd acquired most of 21st Century Fox's assets. They did not, however, acquire Fox Sports. That's still owned by the Murdochs. So they're the ones. you know, the Chris Wallace and company are the ones telling people that they cannot run a pro-life ad. So that's Fox, not Disney. I think Disney would probably do the same thing with their ESPN network. Their entertainment. I still stand by what I said about Disney's moral decay. But it also has spread to Fox itself. Fox Sports is owned by Fox, so let's get that clear. As we look at mainstream media, as I said, ABC is owned by Disney. We look at how they shut down any publication of the March for Life, as the headline on LifeSite News says, despite an historic Trump speech, the first time a president has ever attended this, and this has been a march since they had the Roe v. Wade decision. Roe v. Wade, by the way, is not the law of the land. I was glad to hear Judge Roy Moore say that. Yeah, judges don't make, when judges make decisions, that's not the law. That's not how laws are made. You might want to go back to Schoolhouse Rock and take a look at that. As a matter of fact, one of the defenses that one of the people defending President Trump offered the defense that this is neither common sense nor constitution to remove constitutional to remove the president from office. And my response to that was, since when did he think that common sense or the Constitution were found anywhere in Washington? Maybe the president needs to get some lawyers who understand how what Washington's all about and how it works. There is no common sense or Constitution there. But when I look at this, I say, despite President Trump's historic speech, I would say because of his historic speech, they would not cover it. But they never cover it, even though he speaks. They don't want to cover the issue, and they don't want to give him credit for doing something. As a matter of fact, the only press that you saw about that was, look at this, President Trump is speaking at the March for Life. Boy, he's a late convert to this. Well, that's fine. I don't care if he's a deathbed convert to saving babies' lives. Now, he's doing the right thing. And he said he was going to do this when he was running. So give him some credit for doing what he said he was going to do. Because all too often, as every other politician, he doesn't do what he said he was going to do. When he does what he said he's going to do and he does the right thing, we ought to give him credit for it instead of saying, well, he 20 years ago, he said he didn't agree with this issue. Well, when he ran for president, he said he did. Anyway, as I pointed out, not even having President Trump as the first president to address it in 47 years was enough to get any media coverage. And when he was there, President Trump, and I played the speech for you on Monday, said, all of us here today, among other things he had to say, all of us here today understand an eternal truth. Every child is a precious and sacred gift from God. Together, we must cherish and defend the sanctity and dignity of human life. When we hold a newborn in our arms, we know the boundless love a child brings to a family. And yet, how did the media cover this? We got ABC, which is owned by Disney, gave the march 15 seconds. And that was on Friday. CBS waited until Saturday, when nobody is watching the news, and gave it 13 seconds. NBC completely ignored it. So altogether, they covered this for 28 seconds. And Fox Sports won't air an ad honoring life at all ages for 30 seconds. But they will air a transgender drag queen hummus ad. And it was NBC that was celebrating that. The people who did zero coverage of the March for Life. And then they go on to say, but what did they cover as people were marching for life? CBS and NBC did devote airtime to pro-abortion segments, including an interview with Saturday Night Live star Aidy Bryant about her pro-abortion Hulu show, Shrill. I don't know, it's Hulu. I tell you what, yeah. Hulu, they have a pro-abortion show, Shrill. They also have, of course, you know, the home of The Handmaid's Tale and home of the Hillary documentary that's coming out. I mean, that network is something else. Anyway, is that one owned by Disney? Because they, you know, we've got like, what is it, three media companies that own everything? Look that up, Cedar. 30%? Okay. Instead of reporting from the March, CBS News Online, and of course, you know, CBS News is owned, I think, well, I'm not going to get into the genealogies of these people. They have been owned for a long time by Viacom, same people that own Paramount. That may have changed. They trade shares with each other from time to time. Anyway, CBS News Online, CBSN, hosted a softball interview from Davos with the Planned Parenthood CEO, Alexis McGill Johnson. So the Planned Parenthood CEO is at Davos. And CBS goes there to interview her rather than stepping outside and reporting on the March for Life. Because, you know, it's all about globalism and depopulation. That's what it's really about. And the cult of death. That's what they're selling you. When we look at Davos, as I pointed out, the hidden Davos, as a Marxist revolutionary, you know, they had the Occupy Wall Street co-founder, Micah White, was there. He was talking about the hidden Davos, where you can have activists and elite meeting these global billionaires. And they have a common cause there. Many people are surprised to understand the connections of the most powerful bankers, especially the head banker of the German Central Bank at the time, with Lenin, giving him $10 million, because that was more than $10 billion at the time, $10 billion worth of gold, and put him in a sealed train and sent him to Russia to start the Russian Revolution. And these people, of course, they were like Davos at the time. They had connections with the bankers who were starting the Federal Reserve and so forth. Why would bankers and capitalists love Marxism and Leninism? Why do you have the Marxist revolutionaries and the Occupy Wall Street co-founder? Why are they at Davos? Well, you know, because you've got people like Elizabeth Warren pushing stakeholder capitalism, you know, where the public is now going to tell the corporations what to do, and they will essentially assert ownership. You know, we look at where these people want to put us. It's an amazing contrast, I think, to look at this party that just happened over the weekend at Jeff Bezos' D.C. mansion. You had Bill Gates, and you had Mitt Romney. You had Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner and Kellyanne Conway all there partying at Jeff Bezos' $23 million home. He bought it for $23 million, and he spent like another $12 million fixing it up. It took him 3 years to fix it up, $12 million. But, you know, the amount of money that he spent, that $37 million, he makes more than that in one day on his stock appreciation, typically. I remember when he bought the Washington Post. It's been a while since I calculated how much he makes in stock appreciation alone on a daily basis. But I remember when I did the calculations when he bought the Washington Post for $250 million, I said, yeah, that's only like about, you know, 3.5 days worth of work. Would you buy the Washington Post for 3.5 days worth of work so that you could use it to lobby in Washington? You know, it's got a lot of power there, doesn't it? It can make a politician look very good, or it can make a politician look very bad. And those politicians who are controlling the purse strings might want to look good. And so, you know, it's a nice little incentive, and they might want to go to the parties like Ivanka and Jared do. It's the Alfalfa Club. They have a signature gold medallion around his neck. That was Bill Gates wearing it, and so was Senator Mitt Romney and Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon. You know, they're part of that club. And as George Carlin said, you ain't in it. And I don't think Alfalfa and Spanky and Darla were singing there either. We'll talk a little bit more about that and contrast that to the houses that they're pushing for you. Welcome back. Let's take a look at the lifestyles of the rich and famous and what they want for you. In contrast, again, we're talking about the Alfalfa Club. Mitt Romney and Bill Gates wearing their little medallions because they're all in the same club. And this is the neighborhood. This is the Kalorama District, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I don't know. They would never let me in. They wouldn't even tell me what the secret pronunciation of that is, right? Just the hoi poi. But you have not only Jeff Bezos there, but you've got it's a neighborhood of Barack Obama and the Ivanka and Jared also live there. You know, so just a little neighborhood get together. This was put in by the Daily Mail. They just threw this in as a little aside that Jeff Bezos was hosting with his mistress, Lauren Sanchez. And they said this party was held right after federal prosecutors in Manhattan revealed that they have evidence that Lauren Sanchez, mistress of Jeff Bezos, allegedly sent her dirty texts, her sex texts of with Bezos to her brother, who then sold them to the National Enquirer, Would it be that this story that we've been sold by the Washington Post and Jeff Bezos about how he was the victim of those nasty Saudis, and I agree they are nasty Saudis. I'm not defending the Saudis by any means. But could all of that be a cover story, virtue signaling about how he was the victim of people who chopped up his reporter, Khashoggi, so that we forget about what's really going on there? Anyway, he bought it in 2016. It took 3 years to renovate it, $12 million, 27,000 square feet. 27,000 square feet. While we get the AP telling us that you and I should be going not to our aspirations should not be to have a 27,000 square foot house in the Washington suburbs, but we should be looking to get a small home. Downsizing is right sizing. That's what they tell us. You know, don't think of the UN 2030 agenda as forced austerity and poverty. Don't even think about it as being quarantined in a Google Gulag smart city. No, it's just right sizing, and it's right for you. See, we can't all have that kind of stuff. We'd burn the planet down, like Barack Obama told the black people that he talked to in Africa. Y'all can't have air conditioning. We'd burn the planet down. We will have the private jets and, you know, like Prince Charles and so forth. We'll fly everywhere all the time. And so this is what AP is selling you, preparing you for. They quote someone who says, it scares people to think of moving into a smaller space, but every single person I interviewed who has made the transition says that they're happy they did. People use the term liberated to describe their move to a smaller place. And this is somebody who says that they moved from a 6,800 square foot house to a 1,400 square foot home. Well, they didn't ask me whether I feel liberated doing that, because I did make a similar move like that, downsizing like that. It wasn't voluntary. It wasn't liberating. It was confining. It is claustrophobic. I don't like having a living room that is smaller than my office used to be. But they're going to get you used to this, you know, because Bezos is entitled to have a house that is 27,000 square feet. You should only have a 1,400 square foot house. It's good for him to have a house that's 20 times bigger because he needs to be able to entertain all of these globalist elitists and their entourage and their bodyguards all at the same time. And you don't need to do that. So you just need 1,400 square feet. As a matter of fact, you don't even need that. You don't even need that. See, maybe Bezos is just too stupid to understand that he needs to downsize. That downsizing is right sizing, Jeff. You don't want a big house like that. Or maybe it's just that you're too stupid to see what they're getting ready to do to us. Zero Hedge had an article about the rise of the pod people across America. Homes in 74% of the country, mostly the large metropolitan areas, unaffordable for the average worker. At least three quarters of millennials will never own a home because they're drowning in student debt, auto loans, and credit card debt. Renting has also become too costly for many in large metropolitan areas like San Francisco. Millennials have already moved into campers and tent cities, living in their cars to escape rising rents. But there could be a new solution. They call it pod living. For only about $1,000 to $1,375, a millennial could rent a 50-square-foot pod per month in downtown San Francisco. Isn't that nice? You know, I've talked about the micro apartments. You know, in the past, they were talking about, well, we can put you in a 300-square-foot apartment. Now they've got it down to 50 square feet. That's got to be even better than having a 1,400-square-foot home, right? 50 square feet. Downsizing is right-sizing. And, I mean, who needs anything that is any larger than a 4x8 plywood sheet? I mean, that's what we're talking about here, right? I mean, that's 32 square feet. This is 50 square feet. It's just slightly bigger than a 4x8 sheet. That's all anybody ever needs, says Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates and Mitt Romney and the rest of these people. When we look at Elizabeth Warren, which brings us to her, she says that to deal with the Chinese coronavirus, we have to fight climate change because, you know, everything boils back down to climate change. It is the solution that the problem that lets them forward their solution. And she wrote on the global stage, President Trump's decision to withdraw from the Paris Climate Agreement demonstrates reckless denial about the role of climate change in fueling epidemics. His foreign policy has damaged long-standing alliances with partners like the U.K., France, and I guess the Ukraine, right, who are critical partners in responding to global health crises. See, the only thing that her plans, like I said before, and AOC's plans would do to help the spread of viruses would be to terminate all travel and to lock you up in your 50-square-foot pod. Now, when we look at what's going on and what's about to come up, President Trump actually is right. And we had von Leyden, who explained this for us, the European, what's her name? Angela, I want to say, I get her confused with Ursula Andress. Her name is von der Leyden. And she is with the EU, of course, speaking to the Financial Times. She said, there is no point in only reducing greenhouse gas emissions at home if we increase the import of CO2 from abroad. Now, that would be right, right? Wouldn't it? I mean, it is global warming, right? Or global climate change is what they're talking about. So if you only restrict it in the European Union, that's not a solution. And it's not a solution if you only restrict it in the European Union and the United States either, is it? Because you're ignoring China and India. And that's what President Trump pointed out when he went to Davos. He says, maybe Greta should go to China and India and talk to them, because under the Paris Climate Accord, China and India were going to be allowed to create as many and as dirty a power plants as they wanted to without restriction. How does that solve a global climate crisis? Even the people who believe that there is a global climate crisis said this is nothing other than a transfer of wealth. It's not going to solve the problem. And you have Ms. von der Leyden saying the same thing. It's not only a climate issue, it's an issue of fairness towards our businesses and our workers, and we will protect them from unfair competition. Well, that's what President Trump was doing when he got out of the Paris Climate Accord. He said, I'm not going to allow China and India to have an advantage, so we're getting out of it. And so now the Europeans come back and say, well, it's not fair. You're out of it, and we're not going to impose these restrictions on our people, this austerity on our people, if you're not going to put it on your people. It's like, fine. That means that China, India, the U.S., and let's hopefully the people of Europe, the yellow vests, will knock some sense into the head of Emmanuel Macron and those people who are imposing austerity on them. It's absolutely idiotic. And so what's coming up now are carbon taxes, as they point out on Zero Hedge. But they've now declared a truce over digital taxes, but that now the issue is going to be carbon taxes. Because the EU Commission president, that's her name, Ursula von der Leyen. I always picture her as Ursula Andress, but I don't think she looks that good. We're going to talk about the coronavirus when we come back. And folks, one of the things that one of the officials is saying, look, when you quarantine 50 million people, these measures that some people consider to be inhumane could stoke panic. They could lead to food and medicine shortages. And that's exactly what they could lead to. It could be real, it could be fake. But if they respond to this in draconian measures, which is what you've got a doctor in Hong Kong demanding, the government has to use draconian measures, they have to quarantine all these people, you could make this much worse. And if you don't want to be corralled into some FEMA camp, you need to make sure that you are independent of this. And we've got our supplier of storable foods telling us that there has been a huge demand on this. We've only got about 7 days left of this. Go to InfoWarsStore.com and take a look. They said they're working around the clock. They're concerned that they're not going to be able to meet demand because people are concerned not only about the virus, but they're concerned about their government and what their government may do to them. And you don't want to be locked into that kind of scenario where you can't get food, medicine, but you can get the disease because you're going to be locked up with the other people who have it. You want to be independent of that.
Reverse engineering the high-tech takeover plan. This is the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to get further into this corona panic. We're going to take a look at where this likely came from, the Wuhan lab. There's a lot of information coming out about this Wuhan lab and people who have smuggled over secrets to them. Ads they were running for jobs indicate what they were working on. So we're going to take a look at that coming up in the next segment. The short segment here at the top of the hour, I want to talk a little bit about our quote-unquote justice system. Let's put the justice in air quotes. It's our criminal justice system. Yeah, it is criminal. We have the warden who was in charge when Jeffrey Epstein died, is quietly given a top job at Club Fed Prison, writes Lou Rockwell. The warden in charge when Jeffrey Epstein died in his jail cell is getting a cushy new supervisor's job at Club Fed, despite Attorney General Bill Barr's demand that he be reassigned to a desk job. He wanted him reassigned, he said, to a desk post at the Bureau of Prisons regional office in Pennsylvania, while the FBI and the Justice Department Inspector General investigated. Instead, he's been assigned to a leadership role at a low-security prison in Burlington County, New Jersey, said two people familiar with the situation. It was unclear why the agency was planning to return Epstein's suicide supervisor to a position supervising inmates and staff members, even though multiple investigations into Epstein's death remain active. And then on the other hand, we have this guy in Nashville, Tennessee, a 20-year-old man arrested Monday after police said he smoked marijuana right in front of the judge in the courtroom. Spencer Allen Boston called to the podium in front of Judge Haywood Berry on a simple drug possession charge. He was apparently expressing a viewpoint that marijuana should be legalized, and he was telling that to the judge. He then is accused of reaching into his pocket, pulling out a marijuana cigarette, lighting it up, and smoking. Then he turned around to make a comment to those sitting in the courtroom, and officers immediately took him into custody. Many in the courtroom burst out laughing, says the county sheriff, sheriff's officer's lieutenant. He is now being charged with disorderly conduct, simple possession, bond $3,000. Here in Austin, even though the Austin City Council has said they want the police to stop arresting people for cannabis, the police chief says he's going to continue doing it. And this is mainly because we've had at the state level, they've legalized hemp. And so the people here in Austin, they try to become as much like California as they can. I don't know if they really care about the legal issues here. They just don't look like California. But anyway, it's gone the other way around. As Matagoras with Freethought Project points out, for the last 2 months, we've had cops in the state of Virginia made national headlines when they said they would refuse to enforce tyrannical, unconstitutional gun laws. But it also had many skeptics pointing out that these same cops would still arrest you for a bump stock, for a fully automatic weapon, or for any other number of gun bans enforced on a national level. And in Austin, the police are promising to keep arresting people despite the city council voting to increase freedom by halting marijuana arrests. Oh, by the way, they will also steal your property. They will call it civil and not criminal. They won't wait until they find you guilty. As a matter of fact, they won't even bother to charge you with a crime. They still do that as well. You know, yesterday I talked to Judge Moore about this because he was the only candidate at a forum for, I think it's like five or six candidates who are running for U.S. Senate on the GOP side in Alabama. And Jeff Sessions is now leading in that in the polls. The guy who didn't care what two-thirds of the states said about this. The guy who didn't care what the Constitution said about it. You know, the reason we got the 18th Amendment was because everybody in the country knew that if the, under the Constitution, under the 9th and 10th Amendment, if you didn't expressly have the power to prohibit and to make illegal a substance, you didn't have that power. And so they had to give themselves the power to make alcohol illegal. But now the country has gone to pot, hasn't it? And all we have to do is have the Supreme Court say, we're going to define what you can have in terms of when life begins and what you can have for medicine. We'll be right back.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. I want to get into the coronaphobia, PSYOP, biowarfare, maybe both. Before I do, real quickly, I just want to finish up with this story that I was talking about here in Austin, where the Austin City Council said, we're going to stop arresting people for marijuana. It's too difficult for the police to distinguish between hemp, which has now been legalized in the state of Texas, and marijuana, which has THC. You know, hemp is used for rope. It's used for textiles. It's used for medicine, CBD, and so forth. The THC is what gets you high. That is still illegal, but hemp is legal. And we had a situation not too long ago where we had an individual who was transporting a large quantity of hemp, arrested and detained in Texas for 90 days. He had already been stopped. I think it was in Arizona or New Mexico. They'd stopped him and said, wait a minute, we need to take a look at this stuff. And he had a lab report with him, where they pointed out what it was, that it was hemp that had no THC in it. He showed them the report, but they did their tests, and they said they released him. They kept him overnight, but they released him the next day. In Texas, they did the report. They knew. They saw the report. They did their own test. They knew, but they still kept him for 90 days. And so the people here in Austin, I don't usually agree with the Austin Democrats here, but I think they got this one right. Now, as I was saying, when I talked to Roy Moore yesterday, and you can see the interview that I had with him and some of the excerpts, there's a story up, Judge Roy Moore standing up for the entire 10th Amendment and Constitution. The federal government is overreaching its boundaries. You can see some excerpts from the interview there as well as the full interview. One of the things that he said, he was the only candidate out of all these five or six when they asked him, would you decriminalize marijuana? He says, the government doesn't have any authority to do that, and we've got to stop the government from overreaching its authority. You see, whether it is the definition of marriage or whether it is the definition of life or whether it is allowing this insane UN drug war, they are overstepping their authority. They don't have any authority. And if we're going to get back to the Constitution, as Judge Moore pointed out, we better start paying attention to what it says. It's really important. Once you allow the government to act lawlessly and to terrorize its citizens and to steal property without any due process and other things, lock up so many people, they are basically terrorizing the country. And when you look at this, one of the things that he pointed out was he said, look, anything that's not delegated under the 10th Amendment is retained by the states or the people. And we're not even paying attention to the or the people part. We've had in most of the states, we have had either the people's representatives at the state government or the people themselves with a direct referendum have legalized medical marijuana. That's in two-thirds of the states. Some of them have also legalized recreational marijuana. But two-thirds of the states have legalized medical marijuana. Just understand that under the UN agenda, marijuana is a class one drug, which says that it has no medical use. And yet two-thirds of the states have said it does have medical use and we're going to legalize it for medical use. That's the right of the people. And that is very important because that is the way that we can peacefully roll back federal usurpation, because not even Reefer Madness Jeff Sessions would go against that because it would expose the lie of the drug war. And yet when we look at marriage, the other issue that we also talked about, we had everywhere that came up for a referendum, everywhere where it was in state law or the state constitution, as it was in Alabama, or it came up for a vote for the people in a referendum, as it did in California. You had Tim Cook and Apple and other Silicon Valley billionaires contributing millions of dollars to that. And even in California, gay marriage lost when they put it up to the people. So the Supreme Court imposed it. That's what we've got to get away from. And yet, as he pointed out, there is no difference between the Republicans and the Democrats when it comes to that kind of understanding. The quotes from these other people are, well, I just think drugs are bad, so I want to do anything that I can to stop people from doing it. Well, the government is good at certain things, but, for people who have only one tool, they only got a hammer, everything looks like a nail, and that's what it looks like to these Republicans who are running against Judge Moore in Alabama. It's business as usual for the rest of them. But let's get back to Austin here. In Austin, the police said, in defense of the fact that they're going to defy the city council, they said, well, state law tells us to do that. A city council does not have the authority to tell a police department not to enforce a state law. Well, here's the problem. Police Chief Manley, you swore an oath to the Constitution when you took office. All the local officials take an oath to the Constitution, right? And you didn't take an oath to a UN agenda. And the 18th Amendment, as I just pointed out, ought to tell you that if everybody said we got to amend the Constitution so we can prohibit alcohol, where is your amendment for marijuana that lets you arrest people? And where is the amendment that overturned our due process and our protection against excessive fines that are violated with your so-called civil asset forfeiture? That's a lie. To call criminal prosecution, to call confiscation, fines, to call that civil instead of criminal because it was done by an unelected bureaucracy? Yeah, that's exactly what is going on. All right, let's get to the coronavirus. As we see the panic here, we have a Hong Kong doctor. University of Hong Kong's dean of the medical school said, the question is not whether or not to do more. The question really is, how can we make sure that it is feasible, implementable, and enforceable? And he's went on to say, we need to have draconian measures, just so you understand that he wants this to be draconian. At the same time, we have the LA Times saying the efforts to contain the coronavirus outbreak are a test of China's centralized control. So you didn't realize that they're worried that they don't have enough control, central control in China, right? they said the outbreak is a critical test for President Xi, and it offers insights into how Beijing's central authority works. Yeah, I said from the very beginning that this very well could just be a beta test of central authority. You have to understand, you know, when we look at these articles from the LA Times, a statement from this guy at the University of Hong Kong, the dean of the medical school. When I look at the 20th century, I think this is going to be the century of totalitarianism, the century that everybody begs for complete centralized control of everything. We just have to make sure that it's enforceable. We just have to make sure that we can implement it, that we can do it. We don't care about principles anymore. We don't care about individuals or individual liberty anymore, right? We don't care about informed consent. These same people, the same big pharma industry that's been pushing vaccines on us for things as harmless as measles, and now they're doing it for a flu, which may be a weaponized flu. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. But, you know, when you see the answer to every problem as being bigger, more centralized government without any restrictions, that is the virus that really you should be afraid of. Because, as I said, I think that is a prescription for totalitarianism. At the same LA Times, you have another writer saying China has quarantined 50 million people. Experts worry that that might backfire. They barred 50 million people from traveling. And they point out a quarantine of this scope is absolutely unprecedented, said an emergency medicine professor at Johns Hopkins University. I can't think of anything that comes even remotely close. And here is the downside to all of this. It could lead to food and medicine shortages that will worsen the outbreak, said even a director of the World Health Organization. Many experts also worry that the measures, which some consider to be inhumane, could stoke panic. It could stoke mistrust in the government. It could ultimately impede prevention efforts because when you pack all these people together, you know, the German word for hospital is Krankenhaus, right? Sick house. People always used to look at, you're going to go to the hospital. That's kind of a death sentence, right? Because they didn't have good hygiene and they're packing all the sick people into one sick house. There's a good reason to believe that this could backfire, said the director of the World Health Organization. A good reason to believe that it could not only backfire, but it could be very, very dangerous as they push not only quarantine on us, but new untested vaccines. Like I said, is the corona phobia, is it a psyop? Or is it biowarfare? Well, I think it's actually both, because we've got a tale of cloak and dagger smuggling and stealing. We've got Chinese spies who are stealing bioweapons. They are bribing Harvard chemistry chairs and so forth with massive amounts of money. But at the same time, we got a story on Infowars.com. Photo of a coronavirus hospital posted by the Chinese state newspaper is actually an Alibaba stock photo. And this was put up by the Chinese state-run newspaper, the Global Times. Images have been available on the internet for months prior to it being tweeted out by the Global Times celebrating a, quote, new hospital. Yeah, it's fake news. Meanwhile, other people are accusing the Communist Party of actively deflating the coronavirus patient counts. So in other words, the Chinese government is lying it up on one side, and then they're lying it down on the other side. But of course, we can trust our government to always tell us the truth. And we can always trust the mainstream media to tell us the truth as well, right? And we could never be fooled by magic bullets or collapsing buildings or climate change pronouncements and so forth. China has not accepted U.S. offers to send CDC experts to aid in the coronavirus fight. Yeah, they would prefer to bribe spies in various places. They understand that the CDC, this is what you don't understand that the Chinese government does know. The CDC is not really the Center for Disease Control. It's the Center to Disperse Disease. They are weaponizing diseases. They're bringing in diseases and viruses and bacteria that we've never had here. And they're weaponizing them. They're making them more deadly, more easily spread. And that's precisely what these guys in China were doing with the particular strain of coronavirus. They call it a novel strain of coronavirus. But the CDC is actually a bunch of biowarfare bureaucrats. And they are the biggest profiteers of vaccines. Yeah, you got the manufacturers, you got the people like Bill Gates, but you know, the CDC is stockpiling these things. And they are the go-to source to push this information out to everybody. So they're saying, CDC experts are standing by. We're ready. We're willing to go immediately to China. We're urging China more cooperation and transparency. The most important steps you can take toward a more effective response. See, the Chinese understand that this is warfare. It's biowarfare. And I'm going to show that to you in just a minute. And they don't want our biowarfare spies or scientists, the CDC, coming over and inspecting to see what the state of their lab is. You know, this lab that they have in Wuhan was the very first biowarfare lab that they'd set up. And we'll get to that in just a moment. Well, the other side of this, Germany confirms human transmission of the coronavirus for the first time. First person in Germany to have tested positive for the new coronavirus was infected by a Chinese colleague who attended a company training event in the state of Bavaria a week ago. The colleague, a woman from Shanghai, started to feel sick on the flight home January 23rd. The 33-year-old man who contracted the virus is in a medically good state. See, it's a cold. It's a cold. It can be very resistant to treatment, but it is a cold. And like any cold or any flu, it can result in pneumonia, and you can die from it, especially if you're young or old or have a compromised immune system because of disease or treatment. But when you look at the death rate, and again, can we believe this? You know, we've got, as you put out the numbers, are they lying to us about the numbers? Well, possibly. But if you go with the numbers, and even these numbers are panicking a lot of people. 6,049 cases confirmed and 131 deaths. That's 2.1% deaths. That's no different from any other cold or virus or flu virus. As a matter of fact, it's gone down a little bit. It was 2.8 and holding there consistently. I talked about the very first day I talked about that. I said, look at the number. Why are we panicking over this when you look at the total number of people reported? Unless you're absolutely certain that they're lying about this, that they're underreporting it. Why are you panicking about this? Because there are, you know, it was 2.8% of the people that got it died. And now in the latest numbers, it's down to 2.1%. Again, what you should panic about is our biowarfare programs and the proliferation of this stuff everywhere and into China. That's what you should be concerned about. And you should be concerned about the pharmaceutical vaccine industry and the government narrative to panic you, to force you, or to incentivize you to take these untested vaccines. That's what you should be worried about. And you should be worried about the fact that they're going to use draconian measures to force that upon you. And so then this brings us to, I think, a key article here at Zero Hedge. Is this the man behind the coronavirus pandemic? There's growing speculation, I said, You know, we've been told this story from the very beginning. I was laughing about this last week. Oh, yeah, okay, came from bats. You know, they eat all kinds of stuff, but I didn't believe that. But there actually is a connection to bats. Not from the food market, not from bat soup. It looks like there is a weaponized version of coronavirus that could have originally been stolen from Canada, released by Wuhan's Institute of Virology, whether it was accidental or deliberate, from their top level four biohazard lab. And as they point out on Zero Hedge, they said, well, you know what? It would be a good idea for that same Wuhan Institute of Virology to remove the following help wanted notice that they put up on November the 18th, 2019, according to which the Institute is seeking to hire one or two postdoctorate fellows who will use, quote, bats to research the molecular mechanism that allows Ebola and SARS-associated coronaviruses to lie dormant for a long time without causing diseases. They were looking to hire somebody to do coronavirus research on bats and to have it lie dormant for a long time. Now, what is a long time? I don't know. Is a long time 2 weeks? This is what is panicking people. They're saying, well, you know, you can have this and be contagious for 2 weeks before you have any symptoms. And that's what has panicked some of the medical professionals. That's exactly what they were looking for. They were looking to take some of the most deadly viruses out there, Ebola and a SARS-associated coronavirus. See, SARS is a coronavirus. But again, you know, if we go back and we look at the SARS epidemic, as John Rappaport pointed out on last, I think it was Thursday I had him on, he said, you know, that you had a whistleblower inside and they only had a couple of labs that were allowed to do the test. One of the guys inside the lab said, you know, all these things that we're testing, they don't have the SARS virus. Don't have it. And, you know, we were told 600 people died, 800 people died. All of that stuff, you should question anything that these governments tell us. Not just the Chinese government, but the U.S. government and the World Health Organization as well. Anyway, the right candidate, the one that they were looking for on the ad, and they screenshot this because they knew that the Wuhan Institute of Virology would be taking this down. The right candidate will have a PhD in life science and biomedical related fields, will have strong English communication and writing skills. Now, it'd be preferred if they have cell biology, immunology, genomics, and other relevant background experience. That would be preferred, but they must have strong English communication and writing skills because they're going to be stealing this from Harvard and from Canada and other places. That is their mode of everything that they do here. And we're going to get into how they stole it and the traitor who gave it to them.
Decoding the mainstream propaganda. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
All right, so from the very beginning, I pointed out that I was laughing about the bat soup story. And this is a part of the psychological warfare conducted by the media, by the Chinese government. Oh, we got to stop bat soup. And had the reporter who had run a documentary, and we saw the pictures of bat soup, and everybody's looking at it and they go, oh, this is horrible. And people who eat stuff under those conditions, they're the problem, and that's why this is all spreading. And I said, no, you got their first bio safety level 4 lab, the first one China ever had. They put it up in 2017, and they specifically said that we're going to be looking at coronavirus, Ebola, SARS, and so forth. Yeah, there's the thing that went viral. And, yeah, it is kind of funny that they eat bat soup, and it's not I have issues with, with some of the stuff that they – I related our personal stories of when we were in China. And the strange stuff that they eat and the unsanitary conditions under which things are cooked. And I understand that that is a factor in any disease outbreak. But that's not really what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about bioweapons and biowarfare and the fact that China is ramping up their program. And they now have spies in the U.S. that are actually stealing this. And one of them at Harvard, a chemistry chair. Has now, as part of an unsealed federal indictment, and I'll give you the details of that. But first of all, just in case you have any doubts that this is not the bat soup at the marketplace instead of the bioweapons lab there in Wuhan, just a few miles from that. They ran an ad where they were looking specifically for postdoctorate candidates who are going to do research on Ebola and SARS-associated coronaviruses in bats. And they wanted to make it so that it was dormant for a long time without causing disease, which is what everybody's afraid of with this coronavirus, that they're looking at it. The full job posting can still be found at the time of this article on Zero Hedge at the Wuhan Institute of Virology website. They suspected that it would be taken down, so they took a screenshot of it, and they have the screenshot of it in Chinese characters, and then they have a translation of that. And it was a job posting from the lab of Dr. Ping Zhao, PhD researcher at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, leader of the Bat Virus Infection and Immunization Group. Isn't it interesting that they always mix elements of the truth in with the lies? Oh, these guys, they operate just like the Department of Defense and DARPA, don't they? There's always, you got to have an element of the truth in order to make that lie really effective. This guy received his PhD in Wuhan Virus Research Institute in 2010. He's worked on bat virus and immunology in Australia and Singapore. In 2009, he took the lead in starting the research on the immune mechanism of bat long-term carrying and transmitting virus in the world. He also, there's a press release from him in the article, how bats can carry viruses without getting sick. And he talked about in his paper, in human history, we've been chasing infectious diseases one after the other, but bats appear to be a super mammal to these deadly viruses. So, you know, we're just interested in how they do it. We're not really interested in creating a bioweapon that we can release and then blame it on bat soup. No, not at all. Not at all. And then here's the cloak and dagger espionage connection. Because, you know, we have, and this is a phenomenon that many people are really not paying much attention to. We've reported how many Chinese students there are hanging around and doing suspicious stuff at these universities. And the universities court this. The universities are a big part of their business model are foreign students, both legal and illegal. And, you know, the biggest lobbyists in terms of the money side, besides politics and the Democrats who want voters, the biggest lobbyists of illegal and open immigration have been the university systems. They're always there, number one in terms of the lobbying. Here at Harvard, however, you have a spy situation. Yesterday afternoon, a federal court unsealed indictments against a Harvard professor and chemistry department head, Charles Lieber, along with two Chinese nationals. One of them is a Boston University researcher who was once, listen to this, a lieutenant in the People's Liberation Army. Yeah, he's a military intelligence. And he came here, perhaps maybe to turn this guy. Anyway, the second was a cancer researcher who tried to smuggle 21 vials of biological materials in his sock, allegedly. The Harvard professor, chemistry department head, Charles Lieber, has been arrested. It's not clear if he is still in custody. The official charge against him was lying to investigators. Lieber's actions look like an unvarnished attempt at espionage, complete with an extremely seductive monetary reward, writes Zero Hedge. And they ask, will this Harvard chemistry department head be remembered as the Aldrich Ames of the modern-day Cold War? Because the big ones that, when we look at weapons of mass destruction, you know, we had that Iraq war over that. Turns out they didn't have any weapons of mass destruction, but they got weapons of mass destruction in laboratories all over the United States and in this Wuhan lab. But we're not allowed to talk about that. Weapons of mass destruction, NBC. And I'm not talking about the network. Nuclear, biological, and chemical. That's what you have to be concerned about. And, of course, we have been in the lead ever since we had the Nazi scientist and the Japanese scientist who had been experimenting on prisoners in their death camps. And the Japanese scientists have been experimenting on American soldiers during World War II. We brought them over with Operation Paperclip. We said, we don't care about the morality of any of this stuff. We don't care about the legality of any of this stuff. Absolutely amazing to read the history of Operation Paperclip. Anyway, the official charge was lying to investigators. He was reportedly paid $50,000 a month by this Wuhan University of Technology for participating in its, quote, Thousand Talents program. he was given more than $1.5 million to establish a lab there and to do research at Wuhan University of Technology. According to the prosecutors, he deliberately lied to Defense Department officials about his, quote, foreign research collaborations. They said when Defense Department investigators asked Mr. Lieber in 2018 about his foreign research collaborations, he told them he'd never been asked to participate in the Thousand Talents program. But Mr. Lieber had signed a talent contract with Wuhan University back in 2012, 6 years before. Oh, I've never heard of that thing. National Institute of Health also asked Harvard about Mr. Lieber's affiliation with Wuhan that same year, 2012. After interviewing Mr. Lieber, Harvard then told NIH in January 2019, that Mr. Lieber had no formal affiliation with Wuhan after 2012, and that he had never participated in the Thousand Talents program, even though he had a formal relationship with the university through 2017. So Harvard got caught in a lie. But don't worry, Harvard will not be prosecuted. Harvard can get away with anything. They do medical kidnapping all the time. I talk all the time about Marty Gottesfeld, who's doing hard time in a communications management unit because he exposed the medical kidnapping of Boston Children's Hospital associated with Harvard. They will not face any penalties, but this guy may. He will be their scapegoat. He will hang for this, probably. Not hang, literally, but they'll hang him out to dry. Maybe they'll give him the Epstein treatment. I don't know. Mr. Lieber became a strategic scientist at Wuhan University of Technology, according to the complaint, for significant periods between 2012 and 2017. Listen to how much he was paid. I mean, this guy was paid kind of like Hunter Biden. He had a contract that called for $50,000 a month salary. Now, Hunter got $80,000. But, you know, Hunter's got connections to vice president. He got $50,000 a month on top of $150,000 living expenses. Because, you know, it's hard to scrape by when you're only making $50,000 a month. You need to have that extra allowance there. He was also awarded more than $1.5 million by the Chinese government to set up the research lab. The charges brought by the U.S. government against Professor Lieber are extremely serious, said a Harvard spokesman. We're cooperating with federal authorities. Yeah, I bet they are. Okay, we'll be right back, and we'll tell you about the stealing of viruses from Canada when we return. That's the other part of the espionage. Welcome back. I just told you about the federal indictment that was unsealed yesterday afternoon, charging a Harvard scientist with assisting. Well, actually, they charged him with lying, and they arrested two Chinese nationals. One of them, an officer with the Chinese army, and they were stealing information as well as viruses and trying to ship them back. The Harvard scientist has been caught lying about his connections and the vast amount of money that he was being given by the Chinese government and this laboratory there in Wuhan. We also talked about the job application there at Wuhan by a PhD whose research had been focused on putting Ebola in bats along with coronavirus, SARS coronavirus and other coronaviruses, putting them in bats and making it so that they could delay the expression of those diseases. And that's exactly what is going on right now with the coronavirus, is that they said what's unusual about this is that it's contagious for 14 days before you have any symptoms. And now the other part of the espionage that's here, the lies and the espionage. We have reports about how looks like China stole a coronavirus from Canada, from their only bio level 4 safety lab. So only one in China. I'm in Canada. And I don't know if they've built any others in China. They had plans to do 5 of them. They opened the one that's in Wuhan, which in 2017 was the only one in China, the first and only one. There's only one in Canada. These are, these biosafety lab, level four labs, they're very rare. There's a couple of them in America, only one in Canada, perhaps only one in China, but they want to have five. That's their aspiration. And so they've been involved in espionage. Now, see this with this Chinese case. Great Game India, on Zero Hedge, points out, did China steal the coronavirus from Canada and weaponize it? Last year, a mysterious shipment was caught smuggling coronavirus from Canada, traced back to Chinese agents working at a Canadian lab. Subsequent investigation linked the agents to the Chinese biological warfare program, from where the virus is suspected to have leaked that causes the Wuhan coronavirus outbreak. The coronavirus arrived at Canada's NML Winnipeg facility in May 4th, 2013 from a Dutch lab. The Canadian lab grew up stocks of the virus and used it to assess diagnostic tests being used in Canada. The Winnipeg-based Canadian lab was targeted by Chinese agents in what could be termed biological espionage. Now, of course, if they've only got one bio-level four safety lab, you would want to go there to get the stuff, right? In March 2019, in a mysterious event, a shipment of exceptionally virulent viruses from Canada's NML ended up in China. The event caused a major scandal with biowarfare experts questioning why Canada was sending lethal viruses to China. Scientists from NML said the highly lethal viruses were a potential bioweapon. Following the investigation, they traced the incident to Chinese agents that were working at NML in Canada. 4 months later, in July 2019, a group of Chinese virologists were forcibly dispatched from the Canadian National Microbiology Lab, the NML. And again, it is Canada's only level four facility, and it is equipped to handle the world's deadliest diseases, things like Ebola and the SARS coronavirus. These individuals who were expelled, they have connections. She has done research. It is the wife who is the scientist, I think, but her husband also works with her. They've ended their appointments. They've reassigned their graduate students and so forth because of the graduate students and their assistants' travel to China. But she has had contracts with four institutes that are directly tied to China's biological warfare program: the Institute of Military Veterinary Academy, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention in China, the Wuhan Institute, this one that's right there at the heart of the outbreak, and the Institute of Microbiology, all of them associated with the Chinese military bioweapon program. This is a pattern of behavior. But then that's on the military side. Then there's the commercial side. We have the military-industrial complex. You have the people who are out there making the horrific weapons and the people who are profiting from making those weapons for them. People like the Gates Foundation. Johnson & Johnson were part of this event 201 that everybody's talked about the last 3 months where they do that event. But as I pointed out, and I gave you the one from 2018, I showed you some of what they do. They war game this every year. And part of the war gaming, look, you want to be prepared. And obviously, China is creating bioweapons along with nuclear weapons and every other type of weapon, hypersonic missiles and so forth. They're very aggressive, and they are moving to try to establish themselves dominant in a dominant position, not only in their region, but in the world. And so, yeah, you do have to take some precautions about this kind of stuff. But, we have been racing with ourselves for the longest period of time, since the end of World War II. And there is always a profit motive. And when they hold these simulations, a key part of these simulations is to scare the people. It's not just to scare the politicians who are going to be allocating the funds. That's why I played that guy's assessment. Say, look at this. We got people who got sick with this terrorist attack. They got sick in the White House and on Capitol Hill and even Supreme Court justices. And look, it tanked our stock market and so forth. So you better make sure this is the bottom line of all these simulations. See, it got out of hand in the simulation, and we need to be able to roll out these new vaccines without really any impediment to testing and so forth. Just as you have the guy who is head of the medical department at the University of Hong Kong saying, we need draconian measures here. We need stuff that's the only restriction should be, is it feasible and can we do it? We don't need to worry about law and individual rights or any of that kind of stuff. And we don't need to worry about informed consent. Let's just catch these people and round them up. And then let's give them a vaccine. You got Hong Kong researchers who are saying that they have already come up with a vaccine for this novel coronavirus. But it's just one problem. It's going to take months to test it on animals. And it'll take another year to conduct clinical trials on humans before it'll be fit for use. But, you know, this is pretty much an emergency. And this is the way every one of these simulations ends. We lost because we're too cautious. We can't wait to release these new vaccines against these new threats. We just got to do it right away. And we got to force people to do it. We got to force them into a quarantine area, and then we got to force these new vaccines on them. And that's what's always told them by the military industrial complex that is part of our bio warfare system. And then there's the control of our information. Joseph Mercola at Mercola.com says the new thought police, NewsGuard, are owned by Big Pharma. And it's interesting because in this article, I agree with, and he's got great connections. He documents the connections of funding going from NewsGuard to this group called Publicis and how they are a health subsidiary. They have as sponsors all the big pharmaceutical companies like Lilly, Abbott, Roche, Genentech, and Bayer and others, and GlaxoSmithKline gave them big chunks of money. In October 2018, after a five-month review, GlaxoSmithKline gave Publicis $1.5 billion. And then they turn around and use this to become the, you know, to fund NewsGuard. Well, that's fine. He's absolutely right. Yes, Big Pharma is a big part of controlling information. That's one of the reasons, by the way, why NewsGuard and YouTube will shut down any information that you have about vaccine injuries. They just have their, you know, vaccines work. Shut up. You know, they've got a website for that. Vaccines work. They got a hashtag for that. They constantly, relentlessly push that. And if you say anything else, they will mark, they will purge you like they did InfoWars right off of the internet. And then they'll mark you as being false. That's why it is vital, folks, to have a free press and to have InfoWars. Programs like this, we give you that information. We don't guard the news. We give you the news. We don't control it. Information. I give you everything that I've got here. Spend a lot of time on this every day trying to do research and give you the truth that is here. And I'm telling you, right now is a time that you can support not only your health by the products that we sell at InfoWars, but also make sure that you aren't going to be rounded up. Make sure that you can wait out this storm. We private label this stuff from My Patriot Supply. We have InfoWars storable food, lasts up to 25 years. Take a look at InfoWarsStore.com. They've told us people need to order now if you want your storable food within 7 to 10 days.
Decoding the mainstream propaganda. This is The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Coming up this next hour, I want to talk about the brewing civil war. We see it on the one hand with more Project Veritas releases. People saying, yeah, we got a lot of Marxists, Leninists, and anarchists in the Bernie Sanders campaign. Well, you know, quite frankly, you got Marxists, Leninists all through the Democrat Party as well. And I would say that includes a lot of people at the base because they understand. They know what these people want. They understand the way to succeed is to promise totalitarian solutions, authoritarian solutions for every aspect of your life. That's totalitarianism. And so we'll be talking about that. And an interesting thing on the other side is that you have Jerry Falwell Jr., who is the president of Liberty University, went to West Virginia. And he and the governor of West Virginia did a joint presentation at a community college there talking about how taking it very seriously. The governor of West Virginia is actually making a pitch to people in Virginia, to counties and cities, to leave Virginia and join West Virginia. He said, look, we've got the legal basis for it here in our Constitution and a precedent for when this happened. I mean, West Virginia was created via secession. And we allow that, and we want that. And, hey, and then he starts talking about how good business is there. And Jerry Falwell Jr. is saying the same thing. So we've got a clip of that. You're going to be very interesting to see how this is developing. But there is, let's take a look at what's going on in the Democrats' 2020 campaign. And, of course, Hillary Clinton is putting herself out there. She says that she wants to help. She wants to help the Democrat nominee this year, except that she really doesn't like any of the front runners. She's feeling the urge to run. And I certainly feel the urge because I feel the 2016 election was really odd and gave us an odd outcome. You know, she didn't win, so it was an odd outcome. It was her time. It was really odd that she didn't win, especially considering the amount of money that she spent to buy the DNC. And that was what was behind the leaks from the DNC. It wasn't Ukraine. It wasn't Russia and all this kind of stuff. It was people inside the DNC upset about the fact that Bernie had gotten about as many votes. In some cases, you know, he would win the state and she would get all the delegates. And so she took that situation where she basically did not win the popular vote in many cases, but got more of the delegates. And then she projected that onto Trump. And so now we got to get rid of the Electoral College. And then she distracted everybody from seeing all the dirt about how she'd bought the Democrat Party and bought the superdelegates and had the people in CNN channeling her questions ahead of time in the same way the people at CNN are now trashing Bernie for Elizabeth Warren, and perhaps for Hillary Clinton as well. So she didn't want anybody to see that, so she invented all this Russia did it stuff, the red herring attack. Hillary Clinton believes that she could win if she ran again in 2020, and she is still attacking Bernie Sanders. She did that a couple of weeks ago, and she is renewing that again. This is another interview about her new Hulu documentary series, and this is not the pro-abortion series on Hulu called Shrill. You might think that Shrill is about Hillary Clinton, but actually that's another one that they've got. She says it's really a shame that no women were nominated for Best Director Oscar. See, if they would take her advice, this is what the actors in Hollywood would do, the actresses and actors. The actresses, she wants women in. Okay, so what they need to do, if you want to get the nomination for an Oscar, you do the same thing that Hillary did to get the nomination at the DNC. You bribe these people with massive amounts of cash. You do the same thing to the MPAA that she did to the DNC. And you'll get your nomination. You might even win. Who knows? We'll be right back. When we come back, we're going to talk about what else is happening with the Democrats. And then we're going to get into the secession, civil war, and the Sandinista Marxist-Leninist anarchists. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Let's take a quick look at the field of Democrats, field of schemes. And we have Hillary Clinton continuing to trash Bernie because she knows that he's a front runner. And talking about how she has the urge to run and so forth. If we look at the polling, we have Biden national polling, last updated yesterday. You have Biden in first place at 29%. In second place is Bernie, very close behind, 23%. Elizabeth Warren, quite a bit further back, 14%. Bloomberg at 12%. He's past Mayor Pee-wee Buttigieg. He's passed him. Buttigieg is now at 7, just barely ahead of Andrew Yang at 5. Amy Klobuchar at 3 and so forth. And then a bunch of people you've never heard of. And you wish you'd never heard of these others, too, don't you, if you're like me? Bloomberg's rise is now setting off alarms on the left, reports Politico. Yeah, they're worried about him. And they should be, because he's playing this very smart. He's staying out of the debates. He's even staying out of Iowa and New Hampshire. He's going to drop in on Super Tuesday. He's running incredible amounts of money, far more money than both candidates and both political parties spent combined back in 2000, as recently as that, in 1996. I talked about that, how in 1996 you had Clinton and Dole and the DNC and the RNC spent a combined $100 million. And then in 2000, when it was Bush and Gore, Bush, Gore, the DNC, the RNC together spent, what was it, $130 million or something like that. Well, you know, he's already spent way more than that by himself on TV ads. Because, and we don't need campaign finance reform. I just watched with my wife and family this movie that was done by Netflix. Had a lot of stars in it. Kind of drew us in because it was about the Panama Papers. So I said, let's see what they're saying with this. Well, of course, you know, it's kind of a, you know, kind of an abstract presentation of the Panama Papers done as a dark comedy. And the bottom line is you get Meryl Streep sitting down and talking directly to the audience, you know, breaking that, the fourth barrier, they call that or something, talking directly to the audience and giving us the fourth wall. Thank you. And talking directly to the audience out of character. She takes off all the costume and everything. She keeps her clothes on. So you can watch this. But talking directly to the audience without the wigs and the makeup and everything about campaign finance reform. And it's not about that. That's not going to solve it. The reason we're getting these astronomical amounts of money being spent, the reason that just one candidate is spending more than 10 times what both parties and both candidates spent 20 years ago is because now everything is decided in Washington. If you want to succeed and if you want to be able to shut down your competition, you go to Washington, right? And that's especially true when we talk about the 2030 agenda. You've got big car companies and people like Elon Musk and people like Jeff Bezos. They want the space business. They want to make sure, like Jeff Bezos, that they've got a monopoly or a duopoly on drone delivery, and nobody else can do drones. You know, only Amazon can do drones. Nobody else is going to be able to do drones. And they'll have a couple of different companies that will have the concession stands to provide your transportation, to do space rockets and so forth. And nobody else need apply. And you can do that because all power and decisions are being concentrated into Washington. And so, yeah, people ought to be very afraid of Bloomberg. The Democrats are fearful that he's avoiding scrutiny, says Politico. And I thought it was funny, that picture that is there. He is standing up in front of a poster that has John Kennedy there. And that's not what you can do, blah, 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 right? What your government can do for you or whatever. But, you know, ask what you can do for your government or anyway. That's so 60 years ago, isn't it? I mean, you know, it isn't a let's all pitch in and work together attitude. No, no, no. It's where's my free stuff? That's the Democrat Party here in 2020, not in 1960. Nothing could be further from today's Democrat Party than that expression. You know, don't ask what the government can give you or do for you. No, no, that's all they ask, isn't it? That's all they ask. And it's all these businessmen ask either. It's all Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk is like, let's see, what can I get out of the government? How can I use that to throttle my competition? How can I get subsidized? How can I get monopolies? Well, I can do that because there's so much power in Washington and I can, you know, that's what creates the corruption. If you go back and look at the Panama Papers, you know, how did these people do this? Well, they were working with government officials and it's because money was changing hands. And then we have Bloomberg as he goes out on the campaign trail. Now, one of the reasons I think Bloomberg has not gone on the campaign trail was put on display yesterday as we see him meet a dog. Now, take a look at this. This dog comes up and he grabs the dog by the mouth and starts shaking its head. All these people are saying, has he ever seen a dog before? I tweeted out that picture and I said, I can't wait to see how he what he does when he greets the other candidates on the Democrat stage, if he ever shows up for a debate, right? How is he going to grab Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders or whatever? What's he going to do to the babies on the campaign? He's probably never seen a baby either. He's never seen a dog before. You don't go up to a dog and the dog is like, hey, you know, it's got its mouth open. And he reaches down and grabs it with the open mouth and starts shaking its head. What's he going to do to the babies that he meets? He could be stranger than Joe Biden. One individual tweeted it out and said, yeah, he is absolutely, this is proof that he is a space alien for sure. Never, what is this thing here? Biden, on the other hand, is starting to feel the heat. And so he's starting to make some desperate promises. You know, he's trying to remind people that, you know, he was there with the Obamas. And he is saying, I sure would like to have Michelle be my vice president. And I might put Barack in the Supreme Court. Yeah, this is something that we all ought to be concerned about, quite frankly. I don't know if Michelle would even do that or not. I think she's definitely going to run in the open election, the one that'll come in 2024 when there is not an incumbent. But you never know. You never know what she will do. She is definitely grooming herself, and so is Barack Obama, to have her run for president in the same way that Hillary Clinton did. And I just think that she's trying to bide her time. I think they realize that their best opportunity is when there's not an incumbent. But she might do it to elevate her status as vice president. I just think that the association with Biden is not one that works out to the advantage of the Obamas. You know, he would like to associate himself with them, but I don't think that that works the other way. All right, I want to take a look at what's going on with these Marxists, the Civil War, and secession. Again, we have the Virginia House that wants to get rid of firearms. They want to get rid of free speech. They want to mandate vaccines. We've got multiple laws that have been passed to mandate vaccines without your informed consent, to tie that to children against the parental rights of people. And now they have passed a bill to overturn every pro-life law in Virginia. Every pro-life law. They want to get rid of free speech. They want to get rid of any firearm ownership. They want to mandate vaccines, and they want to get rid of any protection for babies from abortion. Virginia Democrat lawmakers, immediately after they won control of the Virginia House and Senate in January, they began pushing legislation to expand abortions and to repeal all state pro-life laws. It's this full spectrum. And so when we come back, I'm going to play for you the statements between Jerry Falwell Jr. and the governor of West Virginia. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I said, hey, look, you know, we've got some legislators in West Virginia, and they put together a resolution inviting any of these, I don't know how many it is now, it was 130 a while back, any of these jurisdictions in Virginia who want to secede and go to West Virginia, they said, hey, come on in. And now you've got the governor of West Virginia pitching it with Jerry Falwell Jr. in West Virginia. I'm going to play for you what they had to say, as well as what these Marxists who work for Bernie Sanders have to say. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Yeah, we've been talking about what's going on in Virginia for quite a while. We had a lot of reporters there at the Second Amendment rally, and it's not just the Second Amendment. It's they're anti-choice when it comes to health care, vaccine mandates. They're anti-free speech, and they have a long list of authoritarian policies that they're trying to impose. And so you have Jerry Falwell going to West Virginia, going to a junior college there yesterday, and holding a press conference with the governor of West Virginia. His name is Justice. He's a Republican in a state where the GOP dominates the legislature. And so Jerry Falwell went there, and the governor made his pitch. He says, if you're not truly happy with where you are, we stand with open arms to take you from Virginia or anywhere else you may be. We stand strongly behind the Second Amendment and we stand strongly for the unborn. I want to play the comments made by the governor of West Virginia, because he lays out the legal basis for these people. Actually, he's very serious about this. This is not a joke. It was done by some legislators, state legislators in West Virginia, but this is escalating. And I would like to see this happen, because we have to understand that these jurisdictional boundaries of states are not carved in stone. We have a right to self-determination. America was founded on the principles of self-determination, the Declaration of Independence. We create governments to protect our God-given rights. And when the government becomes destructive of those rights, as it has become in Virginia and elsewhere, it is the right and the duty of the people to alter or to abolish that government. And they can also leave. And that's the pattern. That's how you got West Virginia in the first place. So let's play video clip number two. This is the West Virginia governor, Governor Justice, a Republican.
A long time ago, the infringement of fundamental values is what really created the beginning of West Virginia. Now, in doing so, the government of Virginia was probably significantly out of step, and therefore, all of a sudden, counties moved and West Virginia was formed. Now, in 1861, West Virginia's first constitutional convention included 39 counties within the borders of the proposed new state, but also named an additional 7 counties, all of those and all of those that were adjacent to those 7 counties that would be eligible for inclusion if the people of those areas voted to be part of the new state. Now, when West Virginia's constitution was drafted later that year, the number of counties was intentionally unlimited, with an invitation for Virginia counties to vote to join West Virginia, along with a statement that, and here's the statement, additional territory may be admitted into and become part of this state with the consent of the legislature. Now, I'm going to sit down now, and I'm going to just talk to you. You know, West Virginia is an incredible state, and West Virginia is truly on the move. We're doing a lot of good stuff. We've got great people. We've got 4 incredible seasons. We have natural resources beyond belief in coal, oil, gas, timber, water. A long time ago.
Yeah, he's actually making a pitch. He's taking this very seriously. This is not just a legal abstraction. This is not trolling Governor Kuhnman in Virginia. He's very serious about this. And he goes back to when West Virginia became West Virginia. You had a lot of different states saying, you know, we have the Declaration of Independence that declared, as I just pointed out, the right of self-government. The states created the central government. If we don't like the way the central government is being run, we have the right to secede. And they did. Of course, Lincoln essentially started a war over that, but they had the legal right to secede. You can't say that they didn't have the right to secede, whether you agree for their reasons to secede or not. You can't say that they didn't have the right to secede, because if you say that, then there was no moral justification for the United States to exist in the first place. You're denying the principles of the Declaration of Independence. And so when Virginia seceded, you had people in West Virginia who said, no, we don't want to go. As a matter of fact, we agree with the Union, and we want to stay with the Union. And so Virginia said, okay, you can go. And that's how you got West Virginia. And after the Civil War, they made West Virginia a state. And as the governor pointed out, when they did that, they were hoping that more counties from Virginia would join them in seceding. And so they left that open-ended, and he's saying that still applies, and you can all come here. And look, we got a great economy. And then he goes on for a very long period of time talking about how great the economy is and how they've cut back regulations and how they support the right to keep and bear arms. They're pro-life and all this other kind of stuff. They're very, very serious about this. And I think it would be a very positive thing for people to to think about this, because the very first program that I did in this show, I had people on who were leftists in California, and they wanted to secede because they didn't like President Trump. I said, good, let's help you do that. Let's go away. What can I do to help you go away? And let the people in conservative areas of California stay. And it doesn't have to be all of California going. You know, you've got different areas of California, and those conservative areas, they're tired of being dictated to by a few urban centers. And they'd like to say, so I said, let's see what we can do to make this work. let's talk this out. I absolutely agree with you. Yeah, we don't agree about anything except that you have the right to self-government, and so do I. Just like when I was talking about Glenn Greenwald and how the Brazilian government is coming against him. Look, I don't agree with Glenn Greenwald on practically anything. He has talked about the military-industrial complex, but for the most part, we are totally in disagreement on all the issues, except we both agree that we ought to have a free press and free speech. And so I support that, just like I support the right to self-determination. And by the way, folks, if you want to keep us here, that isn't just going to happen without your support. You've been very good about supporting us as we've been purged off of the internet by these people in California and Silicon Valley, and by DARPA, the military-industrial complex, funding NewsGuard, funding ElectionGuard. They don't want to see us on there. They want to control what you see and hear, whether it's about whether they are controlling the narrative for the purpose of Big Pharma or whether they're doing it for the purposes of DARPA. Both Big Pharma and DARPA are funding NewsGuard and ElectionGuard, by the way, and they're doing it through Microsoft. What a surprise. And these are the people who are purging us off. Look, as they are pushing this corona phobia, and you should be afraid of bio-warfare and the espionage that's behind that and the mistakes that can be made with that, but the deliberate intentions of that. Make sure you take a look at InfoWarsStore.com. We need to get your orders in, and it'll take 7 to 10 days to put your orders in. Select storable food at InfoWarsStore.com. You don't want to be at the mercy of the food supply or the government handing that out. And you also don't want to be at the mercy of these viruses. Do things to improve your immunity. And of course, you can get Winter Sun at 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com.
It's no secret that our daily lives are becoming more stressful. No matter what side of the political spectrum you're on, we're all feeling the strain from rising pressure. That's why we worked hard to create a new formula to support your fight against stress in your hectic day. Chill Force is our solution for a true, healthy, relaxation support formula. As the long-awaited sister formula to Brain Force Plus, this formula includes powerful ingredients and time-tested practices to help fight your stress levels. It's time to take a breather. Get Chill Force today at InfoWarsStore.com.
Since the beginning, Secret 12 has been one of our most popular formulas. Now we're bringing you an all-new version of your favorite formula to help you reach your energy peak. Ultra 12 from InfoWars Life takes advantage of the most effective and expensive form of B12 available, methylcobalamin, to provide you with twice the B12. Ultra 12 can help make DNA, support the body's energy production, and help produce healthy blood cells while assisting proper nervous system function. Help support your energy levels and take advantage of the superior form of B12 today with Ultra 12.
This time of year, I'm always promoting Winter Sun, our high-quality organic vitamin D3, vitamin K combo, because it's in the fall, it's in the winter, it's in the spring that people aren't getting sunlight, so your body can't produce the vitamin D it needs, and then that's the main reason people succumb to things like influenza and other deadly viruses that are wreaking havoc out there. It's on record that you've got to have this to live, not just to defend against these viruses. So right now, we have Winter Sun still available, even though we always order only so much for sale during the fall, winter, and spring. I'm going to let it sell out at the sales price of 40% off, $23, despite the fact that I could sell it at full price, because I want you to get it, and I want to incentivize you protecting yourself and your family. So Winter Sun, taken under the tongue, super high quality, 40% off, available now at InfoWarsStore.com. We've got three big sales going right now, and one of them has to end within a week, and that's Ultimate Fish Oil for 33% off. It's amazing. Go check it out for yourself. Then we've got back in stock X2 are best-selling deep earth crystals, iodine, the good halogen that is the building block to everything in the body. And I just can't tell you enough how important it is. The UN admits 2 billion people have low IQ or mental disability because they never got enough iodine. So just check it out for yourself. 40% off InfoWarsStore.com and it funds the InfoWar. And then vitamin D3 with vitamin K that fuses it together. Super high quality. Winter sun. You don't have sun during the winter. Sun helps your body produce the vitamin D3. That's why people get so sick. That's the main reason. Well, you can supplement with this under the tongue, get higher absorption. It's amazing. All three of these are on sale, but only for a limited time at InfoWarsStore.com. Protect yourself and fund the InfoWar. 360 win. InfoWarsStore.com. We have a new product, and we got several thousand of these in, and they're going to sell out in a few days at the rate we're selling them. I want to thank the listeners for getting it, but this really is a game-changing toothpaste, and it doesn't compete with Super Blue that's fortified with colloidal silver and iodine and fluoride-free, the adult or the children's. These are both excellent toothpaste concentrates that don't have fillers. People love it. This is a whitening toothpaste that also has the above-sea coral calcium that also cleans but also remineralizes the teeth. Then it has the patented silver sol, silver in it to knock out the bacteria that cause gingivitis. This is all proven. You can make claims with this. But I have to tell you, no one has a toothpaste this good for knocking out the bacteria, the viruses, and cleaning the teeth in a healthy way that doesn't strip away the enamel. So we're really proud of it. It funds the operation. InfoWarsStore.com. And that's why we're still on air, thanks to you.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Using free speech to free minds. It's The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. I just played a statement made by the governor of West Virginia, a Republican, Jim Justice. He's running for re-election. And he is also appealing to the people of Virginia. Come on into West Virginia. We'll welcome you in. And look, here's the legal basis for it. It was open-ended when West Virginia seceded from Virginia in the first place. When they became a state, they left it open-ended. Anybody else can, you know, from Virginia, anywhere else, any of you guys can come in here. We got a great economy. I mean, he's making a pitch to these people. I want to play for you what Jerry Falwell Jr. said, because he went there to talk about this. And why are they doing it? It's not just the guns, folks. There's not any freedom that the Democrats support. They want mandatory vaccines without informed consent. They want to get rid of the anti-abortion laws that protect people. And of course, just like the vaccine laws, there's a lot of informed consent laws that are in place to keep people from making a decision that they will later regret. There are informed consent requirements now in Virginia that make sure that women are making an informed choice rather than being sold an abortion by Planned Parenthood. They want to get rid of that. Democrats want to get rid of that. There are parental consent laws, just like with vaccines, right? They want to get rid of that. They don't care about your parental consent. And they want to give your kids vaccines and abortions without your consent. They don't want to protect young girls from being pressured or being forced into an abortion. They don't want to hide a statutory rape like Planned Parenthood does. And so all those laws, the Democrats want to get rid of those. They also want to even end, they tell us, this is all about women's health, right? Well, the Virginia Democrats want to end the requirement that only doctors can do an abortion. No, let's not worry about women's health at all. It's the abortion that's the thing. And so Jerry Falwell Jr. Is there in a joint press conference with the West Virginia governor, and here is what Jerry Falwell Jr. said about people.
President Trump and Governor Justice are the 1-2 punch that this state needed, I believe. Under Governor Justice's leadership, West Virginia has become more attractive as an economic success story and a freedom-loving refuge by the day. The state just achieved the highest level of total employment in a single month in over a decade, as well as the lowest unemployment rate since 2008. West Virginia is truly experiencing a comeback story the likes of which they've never seen before. something that all West Virginians should be proud of. And while Governor Justice and I have always shared great pride for our own states, that's what's happening in Virginia right now is a tragedy in the making. Democratic leaders in Richmond, through their elitism and radicalism, have left a nearly unrecognizable state in their wake. Despite a spate of scandals, over the past 2 years, the Democrats control every statewide elected office throughout the Commonwealth of Virginia, as well as both chambers of the state legislature. And they're using their power to strip away the God-given rights held by every person in the state, despite their protections under the U.S. Constitution. The Democrats are anti-life, anti-Second Amendment, anti-liberty, and even anti-business with their oppressive environmental regulations. And now they're doing even more damage by making it difficult for the most needy college students in the state to finance their education.
Yeah, and that's quite frankly going to be the end result of all these college subsidies. Anytime the government subsidizes something, it becomes more expensive. And if you want to know why college tuition has skyrocketed through the roof, it's because of the government coming and saying, we'll help you to do that. We'll help to subsidize that. If that subsidy wasn't there, they would have to be more competitive. But getting back to this whole press conference that's there, Falwell went on to say, what's happening in Virginia right now is a tragedy in the making. Democratic leaders in Richmond, through their elitism and radicalism, have left a nearly unrecognizable state in their wake. And then you had some people in Virginia, other people who were not there. In Virginia, you have a conservative activist attorney, Rick Boyer, a former local elected official. He is helping to push what he calls Vexit. Vexit. And, of course, it is because of the vexations of the Democrat Party in Richmond. But, yeah, I think it's a great term. Call it Vexit. He said, a growing movement of conservative Virginians are serious about leaving a state that doesn't respect their rights. This isn't street theater. We fully intend to do everything we can to see it through. So I think it's a great idea. I mean, you can always, you know, try to sell your home and pack up everything into a moving van and try to find another job and relocate and so forth. Or you can just relocate your political affiliation. I think you ought to go that way. That's a lot easier than all the rest of that. And go to somebody where you can have there's a commonality of your view of government. And that is a serious pitch that's being made by these people. Vexit. Now, President Trump was in New Jersey, another place that people are dying to get out of. But, of course, they were dying to get into the event where President Trump was speaking yesterday. And he was talking about Virginia in New Jersey. And he had this to say about the Second Amendment, video clip number 11.
We will defend privacy, free speech, religious liberty, and the right to keep and bear arms, which is under siege. By the way, our Second Amendment is under siege. In Virginia, they want to take your guns away. It's just the beginning. Never going to happen as long as I'm president of the United States. That I can tell you.
All right. Well, let's hope that it doesn't. I would feel better about it if President Trump would retract the statements that he made to push red flag legislation and the NRA do the same thing. You know, take the guns, do the due process later. That needs to be retracted. Look, I think President Trump is likely, not likely to take the guns. I think the Democrats are certain to take the guns. That's the bottom line. But yeah, you got to be careful because, you know, if they don't do something in Virginia soon, they're going to turn it into New Jersey, a place where there are no gun rights at all. No rights of self-defense. New Jersey is one of the worst places in terms of that. All right, again, folks, I just want to remind you about some of the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. As I was saying before, make sure that you not only have storable food that you have access to, and we've been told by our supplier, we get directly from My Patriot Supply, we've been told that they are having unprecedented demand But you can get that at InfoWarsStore.com. But also make sure that you are protecting your immune system. You know, we have advice from a lot of these people. I read that to you. The woman who says, well, you're worried about the coronavirus? Just take your doggone flu shot, right? Well, no, that's going to suppress your immune system. You need some things that are going to boost your immune system. And, of course, one of the best things that you can do is vitamin D. And we have that. Winter sun. You know, we call this flu season because people don't get a lot of sun typically during the winter. When you get sun, your skin will make vitamin D, but you can also supplement with it. It's going to help your immune system. It'll boost your immune system. We also have nascent iodine. We have the Power Pack 50% off that is both Survival Shield X2 nascent iodine and also X3 nascent iodine. You can get either of those individually at 40% off, or you can get the two of them together, 50% off. You can get Winter Sun at 40% off. Take a look at the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com because you need to focus on boosting your immune system and you need to be able to focus on keeping your independence so that you can wait out this storm or any kind of hurricane, any kind of economic crisis, whatever comes along. You know, you can store this food for 25 years. It's non-GMO. It's made in America. It's made by My Patriot Supply. And we've got a big run on that. Right now across the country. So make sure that you have a stable food supply. We'll be right back. We've got more information about Bernie Sanders and the Marxist-Leninist anarchists and their desires to guillotine the rich. These people are out there, but they're serious. They're serious. You should take them seriously, and we'll play you what they're saying, latest videos from Project Veritas when we return. All right, so Project Veritas, I think, is up to like four different revolutionaries, violent revolutionaries. People admitting, yeah, you know, we got a lot of Marxists, Leninists, and anarchists. Why is that a surprise? I mean, you know, Bernie Sanders himself is a Marxist, Leninist. He chose in the waning days of the Soviet Union to go there for his honeymoon. At the very end, when they were thoroughly discredited, there was no excuse for anybody not to know what these people were about. He always supported the Sandinistas and Nicaragua and all this other kind of stuff. I mean, you know, talking about these Marxist revolutionaries stealing and killing. They don't accept the idea of private property. And the most amazing thing to me about all this is the liberation theology people that go under the guise of Catholicism. Rejected by conservative Catholics, but these people are full-on Marxist. And that's where this Pope is coming from, talking about you know, capitalism as a devil's dung and so forth, and saying we have to end it and so forth. He was spawned out of the liberation theology movement, which is thoroughly Marxist-Leninist. So you see the people like Bernie Sanders, you see people like the current Pope. They want centralized control, and it's not a surprise that the Bernie campaign would attract Marxist-Leninists and anarchists and violence, because these people always establish their rule by violence. So we have them on tape. And again, like I said, there's at least four people now, staffers for the Bernie campaign in various states, promising violence if they don't get their way, promising violence if they do get their way, because, you know, getting a Marxist like Bernie Sanders elected is just the beginning for these people. Video clip number six.
I canvassed with someone who's like an anarchist, and I canvassed with someone who's, you know, more of a Marxist-Leninist, and so we do attract. I mean, we attract you know, radical, like truly radical people to the campaign. But that's obviously not like outward facing.
Yeah, obviously not outward facing. We don't want people to know that they're Marxist-Leninist and, you know, anarchist. You might get that idea if you looked at Bernie's policies or Elizabeth Warren's policies or looked at what he's done all of his life. As a matter of fact, his connections in South America, Central and South America, the Marxists down there, is why I called him 4 years ago Bernie Sandinista. But here is another campaign worker in South Carolina being paid by the Marxist-Leninist anarchist Bernie Sanders, talking about guillotining the rich. This is video clip number eight, guys.
Right. If Bernie was to lose, I would like to see yellow vest protests like here, stateside.
I'm already on Twitter following numerous groups around the country that are ready to organize yellow vest protests.
Okay. I mean, I'm ready. Let me know.
I'm ready to start tearing bricks up and start fighting.
Good.
I'm not. I'm no cop, bro. I'll straight up get arms. I want to learn how to shoot and go train. I'm ready for the revolution.
All right.
I'm telling you.
Good stuff.
Guillotine the rich.
Hell yeah. The guillotine's very humane, too.
Yeah.
It's humane. It's humane.
It's more humane than the gulag.
I
just look at that punk, and I think, you know, he wouldn't stand a chance. He wouldn't stand a chance in a straight-up fight with anybody. Yeah, I'm ready to go get a gun, and like, it's all talk right now. But let me tell you, these are the kind of people that will walk up behind you and club you to death with a baseball bat if necessary. And if he did get his hands on a gun, you know, he would shoot you from behind. They're very dangerous, even though they can't defend themselves in a fair fight. These people don't fight fairly, and so you should be concerned about them. And then we have another individual who is talking about, after we abolish the landlords, we don't have to kill them. He said we would need a federal government and labor union movement that is working together to strip power away from capitalists and direct violence towards property. Property. It's going to take militancy, like a militant labor movement that's willing to strike and, if necessary, you know, just destroy property and things like that. They're destroying the foundation of this country. They're destroying our monuments. They're destroying our schools. They're lying to us about our history. That is the destruction that I'm most concerned about, because, you know, people understand it when they start hitting people with boards with nails in them, or they start, destroying private property. But they don't understand the real violence that is inherent in what they're doing and tearing down history and tearing down the monuments to our history and how they're rewriting that. You know, as I pointed out this last week, Yale has now retreated from their celebrated Western civilization course and the art that's involved. They said the art is just too white, too male, too European. Yeah, but it was the best thing. It's the best thing that humanity has created. That's the only problem with it. But we can't have it because it's white, male, and stale. So we've got to get rid of that. It's too European. Anyway, he said, after we abolish landlords, then we don't have to kill them. That's my feeling. I think it's damaging to the soul, but there were plenty of excesses in 1917, and I would hope to avoid that. So you see, these guys are openly referencing the French Revolution, the Russian Revolution. This is really where they're coming from. And then another organizer in South Carolina talking about how the Bernie Sanders campaign is planting the seed. You know, they're moving this along incrementally, but they're ready to resort to radical violence if they don't get exactly what they want. Video clip number 7, guys.
For me personally, I have no problem going all in on the campaign stuff, because you are planting a seed. You need people to understand that the things that we're fighting for are things we should have had all along. But for a lot of people, it seems extreme because it never has been. You know, a lot of the social programs that we're pushing are things that other countries have had for a long time, but we've never had. Like the whole socialist thing 4 years ago was a lot more toxic than it is today. I think people are finally starting to realize, and maybe it's not such a bad thing.
Mm. Yeah, it's not such a bad thing. I mean, people like Occasional Cortex love it, so it can't be bad, right? Socialism has now become a badge to these people because they have been propagandized on this. They've been raised to think like socialists by people who were closet socialists, and now they're ready to come out of the closet. And we just don't want to scare people off. We know that change won't come easily. We got to do it gradually. But, you know, the Iowa staffer, Kyle Jurek, said, and he warned that in Milwaukee, where they're going to have the DNC this year, he said, if we don't get what we want, if Bernie doesn't win the nomination, we're going to burn the town and the police will be beaten. And so, you know, that's their intention of where they want to go. But this is not reported or criticized by CNN. And if you criticize Antifa, then you are considered to be a white racist hater. And we have a clip of CNN running through all of their stereotypes about Trump supporters. Let's play video clip number 9.
And obviously it's false. And look, he also knows deep in his heart that Donald Trump couldn't find Ukraine on a map if you had the letter U and a picture of an actual physical crane next to it. He knows that this is, you know, an administration defined by ignorance of the world. And so that's partly him playing to their base and playing to their audience, you know, the credulous boomer rube demo that backs Donald Trump. That wants to think that Donald Trump's a smart one, and there are y'all elitists are dumb.
You elitists with your geography and your maps and your spelling, even though my
math and your reading.
Yeah, your reading, you know, your geography, knowing other countries, sipping your latte.
All those lines on the map.
Only them elitists know where Ukraine is. Sorry, I apologize.
Oh my God!
But you know what? But it was Rick's fault. I blame Rick.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, there you go. So this is part of the polarization that is being sold by fake news CNN. Maybe if you want something really funny to laugh at, Don, you could just go back and review some of the tapes of CNN, what they said about Russia, what they said about anything, what they said about the last election, 2016. Just go back and look at some of that. You know, it's, as they pointed out on Breitbart, you know, when you talk about welfare queens, if you were to do that, they would call you a hater, you know, because you're talking about welfare queens and Democrat Party. Don't call Don Lemon a queen. And so he comes back out and says, oh, I was just laughing at the joke. I wasn't laughing at any group of people. Yeah, okay. Let's play video clip number 10.
And one final note that I have for you, because this is personally important to me to address this, okay? Anyone, ask anyone who knows me. They'll tell you.
I'm not a
racist. I
don't
believe in belittling people.
Republican rubes are racist, right? Not anybody here at CNN. We don't hate anybody. We don't hate President Trump. We just nothing but love.